Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Seth and Beth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't know which one of you would go first if I did it that way.
It was a race.
Next time we'll do it together.
Okay.
Fun things on the way for you. Oh, I like that. In a little bit, we're going to get into things younger people don't get about the past decade.
That sounds like fun.
That's going to be a good one coming up. I got a little bit of science news and some other fun stuff we'll get into as well. I want to touch on and some other things too. We're going to get to. But we got a call coming in. Let's go ahead and take it. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, you guys were playing some good Christmas music, but I'm surprised you did not play Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Merry Christmas, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
It's one of those ones.
It's actually a cover of an Otis Redding song. But
yeah.
Man, that is probably my number one song. I just wanted to... I wanted to sneak that one in after the break.
That's a good one. That's a great one to mention. And Otis's version is really good.
Yeah. I heard it the other day. It's an amazing song.
That's a great one, man. Thanks so much for the mention. We like it. We're going to throw that one into our playlist too.
Right on, man.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, brother.
Bye.
Hey, we appreciate you guys' calls. Keep them coming. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Love hearing from the best listeners in radio. Let's dive into some entertainment news. Madonna thanked her lucky stars and some special friends during a recent concert in Brooklyn. That was a bad line.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Wow.
That was bad, especially with what I'm about to tell you. Many don't know, she just released this information that back in June, she was in hospitalization, revealing that she was put into an induced coma.
Wow.
Quote, there are some very important people in this room tonight that were there with me in the hospital, Madonna said during the concert, according to footage posted on a Twitter. I'm not calling it X. From a concert this weekend on her Celebration World Tour. Mm-hmm. She continued to say, there's one very important woman who dragged me to the hospital. I don't even remember. I passed out on my bathroom floor. I woke up in the ICU.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
For somebody who, I mean, there was a point in time where Madonna broke a nail and we knew, you know?
Isn't that like remarkable? Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And reading this story, it reminded me of a conversation that I had over this weekend or the weekend before. I don't remember. It actually came up because we were talking about the King of Pop and who that is. Because, you know, Michael Jackson was always considered the King of Pop.
Right.
But now removed from the 80s and 90s a little bit and we have some time to think about these things. I think it's a fun debate to have.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wrong answer.
Right.
Unless you say Buster Poindexter. there's no wrong answer.
And that is objectively wrong. Yes, you are correct.
Where in God's name did that come from? I haven't thought of that name in ages. I don't know why I just pulled that. Of all the 80s names I could pull, Buster Poindexter I found in this brain of mine. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I pulled out Buster Poindexter. At any rate, we're talking about this, and... this is a fun debate, I think, because where Michael, obviously the hits, the dancing, his iconic status and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think of a guy like Prince, and I think of the artist that Prince, it wasn't just Prince's music. It was all the other artists that Prince helped rise up or gave them a song or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the different genres. Like Prince hit so many different genres than Michael did and everything.
Right.
So I don't know who the true king of pop is, but I am positive, without a shadow of a doubt, who the queen of pop is. And it is Madonna.
Yeah.
And there is no question about this. When you can look at, you can name so many great artists, and we're going to talk about one of them in a moment, Cher, who, a fantastic artist. But Cher kind of took a break from singing and stuff and kind of went into acting, won herself an Oscar, and stuff. There's a lot of great female, Diana Ross. There's a lot of greats. None of them have hits in like 4 to 5 decades long, where her career, Madonna is still a relevant name in 2023.
Yes,
it is.
People who are 23 know who Madonna is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's incredible what that woman did. You don't have to like her. You don't have to be a fan of Madonna's or anything like that. You have to respect her game, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The only name that I would throw out there, and we won't know because she was taken too soon, would be Whitney Houston.
Mm.
That would be a name I would throw out there because that's who also I think of when I think of the 1980s, 1990s. She was up there with Madonna.
Right.
I have no doubt that if Whitney was still around, she'd probably have hits in those decades.
Absolutely.
And this would be such a fun conversation to be able to have. Because that's a perfect name to mention.
Yeah.
Perfect name. And probably the only one that, like you said, would have been able to compete with her on that level. So just a chance to appreciate the Material Girl for a moment. And wishing her well.
Hope she's doing
all right there. I mentioned Cher. Cher was on the Kelly Clarkson show recently. And shout out to Kelly Clarkson, who is the new queen of daytime, it turns out.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming, but a real credit to her and her really enjoying this. Same thing to Drew Barrymore, too. Like, daytime TV was dying, and these two are two of the voices that brought it back, along with every 90 judge shows. There are 100 judge shows on TV now.
What is up with that?
I don't know. They've run out of ideas.
Weird.
So Cher was on there the other day, and she said, quote, they brought up about her not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this has, of course, been coming up recently with Dolly Parton and that.
Uh-huh.
She says, quote, "And I'm not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." After the studio audience let out a collective groan, Cher told them it was okay with her. "You know what? I wouldn't be in now even if they gave me $1 million. I'm not kidding you." She doesn't want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they didn't ask her soon enough. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much what it comes down to. I love that Dolly Parton, it was, "Oh, honey, I'm not a rock star. You shouldn't put me in there and everything." Yeah. She's too humble, all this. Cher. Cher is still Cher.
Yeah. And she, to be perfectly blunt, she should be in the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame. Absolutely.
Like, again, many decades of success that we're talking about here.
I just assumed she was.
Yeah, I did too.
I just assumed that she was. Like, that's a failure on the hall. That's
absolutely
on them.
If we could turn back time,
nice.
We could put her there.
Nicely done.
Thank you. As my husband just rolls his eyes.
I love it.
Good grief.
There's a great article from Billboard.com about the 12 reasons Cher belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go.
We're not going to go through that, but she does.
She does.
I think that it's such a given that she does. You don't need us to go through 12 reasons.
No.
Like, if you know the name Cher, you understand she belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a moment talk about the upcoming auditions for The Glass Menagerie, one of Tennessee Williams' better shows coming up with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. It's going to be their next production. Mm-hmm. Auditions are coming up January 2nd and 3rd. I'm going to try to get their director on, Seth.
He's a hard get.
Seth Huberger. Dang it, I practiced this.
Very reclusive, you know. He's one of those guys.
You know. If I say it quick, I can get away with it.
Bless you. Yeah.
Seth Habagger is going to be directing this one. And Seth, this is an important piece to you. And we'll talk about this more close, probably as you come back. Seth's going to be gone. Actually, both of you guys are going to be gone next week.
He is taking this with him, yes.
Yes.
Hard as I tried.
I'm not used to having you both on the air with me and stuff. The family's going to be out of town next week and stuff, so we won't have Seth with us. This is actually your last shows for the year.
Coming up, just a couple days, right?
And everything. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take some time to be able to let you talk about this, not just me rambling about it. Seth, we of course encourage every single person out there listening to audition or try out for behind the scenes things and stuff.
Right.
Except for me.
You're going to be a help, just not that way. Yeah.
Is there anything else you think people it would be good for people to know going into an audition for something like this?
Yeah, you know, it's Tennessee Williams is an interesting, playwright. You know, last year they did Streetcar Named Desire, and there are certain things about his plays that are a little difficult in terms, because there's a lot of monologues in that kind of thing. So you have to be ready to memorize, certain big chunks of dialogue, that sort of thing. For this one specifically, this was his first published play, and it was his first big hit. And in the introduction to it, he says, this is a memory play, okay? It's loosely based on his own life. But it's not – he didn't go back and say, this happened at this date and this thing. He called it a memory play because it's about memory. It's about what he was thinking, going back in his mind. And he knows that, you're never going to remember things exactly the way they are. Those things are going to be a little foggy kind of thing. And that's the way I'm going to be approaching this show. That's why we're going to be doing it in a multimedia way. So what we're going to be having is a filmed segments. Yes, actually, you're going to be in front of the camera, and we're going to film it. We're going to have voiceover things with some other video projection stuff that we're going to be working on. Some of it's going to be in silhouette. Some of it's going to be so there's going to be a lot of different ways interacted with actual performance on stage. I don't want to take that away to think it's all going to be that, because it's not. There's going to absolutely be performances on stage. It can be it's a very intense show. There's only four people in the cast. One thing I would like to encourage is if we could get some younger people to audition, because especially the Laura, the younger daughter in there, and then the gentleman caller Jim. Are both supposed to be in the younger side.
I'll audition. Fine.
You get this mascara in the beard there.
I haven't been able to play young for a while.
So I'm encouraging people. If you're, like in your 20s or in 30s even, it'd be great if you could come out for an audition for it as well. Because, you never know. This might be that one of those roles that that really breaks it out. I was able to play Tom, who's the main character. He's the stand-in for Tennessee Williams many, many years ago. And I have to say it's probably my favorite role of all time was him, just because of his Tennessee Williams writing is so beautiful. His words are just wonderful to recite on stage. So I encourage as many people to come out as are able.
And to use a metaphor from your favorite sport, Seth knocked it out of the park.
I have no doubt.
Found the poster. I found the poster that we put out too.
You're so young.
I look a lot younger. Yeah,
That's cool. It's one I mentioned this before. It's one of my favorite monologues. The opening monologue that Tom does in that is one of my favorites. I feel like this is one of those ones where you do this show 20 years from now, you'll be talking about it just like Seth is.
Oh yeah.
We have a perfect example of it right here.
Yeah.
And it seems like a bit of a full circle thing for you too, doing this.
It is because the production we were in that was the same, like what I want to do. And the reason I wanted to do it in a similar way is that unfortunately, when we did it, not many people came to see it. And I was very disappointed by that, because it was an amazing, technical feat and all this stuff. And I thought all of us, all the actors gave really good performances. So in order to honor the director of that, my good friend, Jill Nadeau, I wanted to do it the same way that she did it. Not exactly the same way, of course.
Sure.
But as much as I can honor the way she did it, because I think it's just a different and new way to look at a classic. This is one of the standards of American theater of plays, is the Glass Menagerie. So I want to be able to have people look at it in a new way.
I've been working as a professional actor since 2008, and I've gotten a chance to work with a lot of really cool, wonderful people. Seth is one of the most talented human beings I've ever shared a stage with, and I cannot imagine what you're going to be like as a director. One of the more giving actors I've worked with, too. So as a director, I can only imagine how you will be with that. If you are somebody who especially has been on the fence and you've never done a show before, I got to think that this is a really good one to join, working with a director like Seth. That is certainly encouraged behind the scenes too, when it comes to people and props and stuff, and with a lot of the things that you are doing with this show, I can imagine that you're going to need all hands on deck.
Yeah, especially for some of the technical aspects of it, making sure everything timing is going to be of the essence on this one. It has to be very precise timing on certain things. So yeah, I'm gonna need all kinds of people to help out on this.
Did you have some? The Glass
Menagerie.
The Glass Menagerie audition dates will be January 2nd and 3rd, 6:30 over at the WRCT Auditorium. They'll have their read-through on January 4th. I like how you have all that already planned out. I'm not surprised, but I just love that
we're going to hit it. Yeah, that's right.
And the show will hit the stage in March, so keep those things in mind. And you do not have to compete against me. You don't have to. I wanted so badly to play Tom. I wanted that role, but I have a couple of auditions coming up, and one of them in particular, I was told from the director to keep some time open, so I just will not be free at the end of February and at the beginning of March, probably, for what the auditions. I don't do this very often, but I have to with these because I'm doing these back to back Friday. It's the same casting company that's casting both of these, so it kind of works out. There's one that I'm doing. It's a voiceover role for Dead Encounters. It's a fictional podcast of a horror writer where he interviews fictional witnesses and victims who have experienced encounters and afterlife and all this. Oh, sounds really interesting.
It does.
And with my background in radio, they kind of thought, oh, this will be good. This will be something good for this. But what I'm really excited about, I so excited that I shaved my beard down for it because this sounds really good. It's already down to me and three other people. It's an independent one, but Blue Gum, a powerful short film set in the late 70s in a world where the Black Power movement and vampires collide.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Just, sign me up. I don't care. I'll do it for free.
It's Blackula on steroids, man.
I'll do that for free, man. Don't tell my agent that, but yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting to be to have all these things to be back and running. We've got our local theaters back. We've got movies and things back and running, and all of this. It's an exciting time if you are, if you like entertainment, if you like being entertained. We will take a quick break. We're going to come back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holidays to you.
Is that difficult to do that as a singer, what he does right there? Two.
Not necessarily.
It seems like it.
Depends. It depends.
Seems like it. I admire it every time I hear it. I've been hearing it since I was a little kid. And every time I've ever heard it, just I admire him being able to do that. I don't know.
I believe in singing, that's called a swoop, isn't it?
It's a swoop. Yeah. And it's hard to distinguish the swoop from a slide.
A swoop from a slide, yeah.
You want a swoop, not slide.
Yeah, very cool. I'm so glad I asked.
Oh, having a Costello routine coming up.
Yes, yes. Who's on first?
Was that a swoop or a slide?
Let's get into a little bit of science news.
Science!
Science!
She blinded me.
We need that as a bumper. We do enough science stuff. I think we need that. So I want to get into just a couple of quick notes on science. What I like to do with this segment, though, is we'll talk about a little of this, but I want you guys to do some homework. I want you to look into some of these things yourselves, do your own research on this stuff, and find out what you can learn. If you're a morning person, it might be because you're a part Neanderthal.
Oh, I love that.
Our ancient ancestors got it on with them, and we still have up to about 4% Neanderthal DNA.
That's right.
A study found a lot of those leftover bits affect genes that govern our internal clock, and certain variants make you more likely to be a morning person.
How about that?
Don't tell your sister.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell her that. Yeah, Neanderthal.
Fascinating. I think for some that might be news to them, just the 4% of Neanderthal that is in us still.
Yeah.
I think to a lot of women out there, that's not surprising at all. No, that's it was a low-hanging joke. I get it. But that's really interesting, though, like to think. I mean, it's been a long time since then. And
that's something that's come out recently about, you know, the inner mating between Neanderthal and humans, what became humans, because they're two different species.
Oh.
They're not the same species, but they were able to, you know, commingle, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And which is why, like James said, you know, they found out that we do have a small amount of Neanderthal blood for most humans, I think.
Oh.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
This is. In dog news, a TikTok went viral claiming dogs are actively trying to make us laugh. It's a bit of a stretch based on the actual study from 2014, but it did find that they're good at reading emotions and might prefer laughter over other sounds.
Oh.
Who doesn't?
Right?
Laughter, I'm telling you, it's universal.
I'm telling you, in some ways, there are some things that I see with dogs or I hear about dogs, and I'm like, they're smarter than us. They really are. They get it. When's the last time you saw a dog stressing over something that they can't do anything about?
Right.
Right, you know? Exactly.
There's so many things about them. They also eat their own poo.
Maybe they know something we don't know.
It could be.
We know cats are smarter than us, and maybe I think you're right, dogs might be too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In cat news, a study found cats are cutthroat. They are willing to kill and eat just about anything. This study identified 2,084 different species they consume.
Wow.
Birds, mice, lizards, insects, they'll eat it all.
Yeah.
So cats are part goat.
Yeah. tin cans. Yeah.
So they don't have the discriminating taste that the commercials told us.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
They lied to us.
So Fancy Feast, it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's just a big lie. I smell a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. In bird news, a study found parrots like to dunk their food in water just like we enjoy dunking cookies in milk.
Maybe they watched us do it.
I was going to say, is that because that they see humans
or
do it?
Or did the first person to dunk a cookie in milk do it because they saw a parrot dunking their food in water?
Which came first?
Yes, yes. Oh, which came first?
Oh,
perfect.
Man.
That's perfect. We've got some more of these I want to do. Some interesting news about whales. And came across a story yesterday about apes and their memory that is fascinating. Mm-hmm. We don't have the time for them right now, so we'll get into them tomorrow. We'll have more science for you then.
Science good.
Want to do a little bit more of these. This is a topic that does not get covered literally at all.
Hardly at all,
like,
yeah.
Nobody's covering science news.
Right.
Nobody's covering these things. And some of the most fascinating, interesting research is going on.
Absolutely.
Some of the more important stuff is going on as well, along with just fun, interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a little bit more of that around here. We're going to have some more of that. But for now, we're going to get to some state and local news. We'll come back and have some fun with, where is that? It's things younger people don't get about the past decade. Coming up on
We'll learn them.
On the morning show here at WFHR.
You poured the brandy, baby, dressed the tree. I got the table looking Christmassy. Wrapped up presents, lit all the lights up, it's true. What can be wrong with all this right? Somebody's light is not so bright. One thing here could use some cheer, and that's you. Because everyone you know and everyone you don't are wearing Christmas sweaters, so it's crazy that you won't put your Christmas sweater on.
Little Michael Bublé to play us in. Beth, Seth, and James here with you on the morning show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great one out there. His Christmas album is nonstop great.
Yes.
There's not one bad song.
Yes, I agree.
It's a great
100%.
One. Really good one. no, we have
I gave it to you. That's
I
what
know.
You know, it's around that time of year where we gather around the fireplace, young and old, family and friends, loved ones and new loved ones join together and reminisce and talk about how it was better in the old days and younger people don't understand any.
Don't understand.
Just kidding. But all the other part is true.
Yes.
So we have here younger jokes, things that younger people might not get jokes about. It's things younger people, quote, don't get about past decades.
Okay.
This could be a pretty fun list. So here we go. We want to start let's start at one. Let's start right here at the number one. Decades ago, it was common not to have photos of everything or anything.
Yeah.
Now you might feel disappointed about doing something or going somewhere and not taking enough pictures. But before cell phones, it was normal to go months without any photos being taken.
Mm-hmm. Or waiting months to get the photos that you had taken.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because it was a process.
Oh, yeah.
You had to take the pictures with your camera. Then you had to take out the film and you take it to the processing store. And then they had to get it processed. And then they'd make a mistake. And then they have to do it over again. And then they'd have to give, you know, and then you have to go pick up your pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It was, now it's just everything's right there.
You want to get that great picture next to the Leaning Tower of Pisa and you know, holding it up and everything.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
you get one shot and you don't know it for like maybe a couple weeks. Did it come out?
Did it turn out?
Or is my arm like gone and you can't see it or something? And you're only going to be in Italy once, you know, and that was gone.
Right.
That shot is gone. I don't think, like, I think this, I actually think that younger people might understand some of this a little bit, in part because they don't see maybe pictures of them when they were, as many pictures of them when they were little or pictures of their parents or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to also flip this on the other side and give credit to so many people that nailed it on the one take.
Yes.
Like, how many times we've got great pictures and like, oh, that's one of my favorite shots, or that's,
yep.
There's one of my little brother when he was like two, my nana took of him, and he had on one of those little white plastic kind of like a 4th of July hats.
Oh, okay.
And he was on his trike, and my nana goes, Nicholas, and he looks over and he tips his hat to him. and my nana got a picture of it.
Perfect.
It's one of my favorite pictures of all time. Yes. Like things like that. Like nana nailed it. Like she got it. It's not like Nick cross-eyed. It's not, you know, right. Nick looking down. Right. It's just him right looking
it's
at
one
the
of those
shot.
Moments. Yeah.
Like we did not give enough credit to people nailing it on the one take.
Yep.
And next up on the list, you had to create your own sources of fun. Without access to just about anything you wanted on digital media, it was easy to be bored without inventing games and activities to do with friends and family.
It's this amazing thing called imagination.
Yeah.
I do think that the overwhelmingly majority of young people, young kids, and I'm talking like 10 and under, 11 and under, that kind of thing, do not need us to remind them they have an imagination.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I think you're right.
I have not been around a lot of that youth, but when I have, all of the youth I've been around in those age ranges love using their imagination, mm-hmm. like playing outside, enjoy doing different things.
They do.
You know, I don't see this as a big of a problem as some do. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because of the kids that I've been around and everything.
And that could have something to do with it. But I think you're right. I don't think there's any, you know, inherentness that just because there's a screen or something that they are necessarily drawn to it. Mm-hmm. I think they have an equal amount, you know, like you said, going outside or coming up with their own games or whatever it is, playing pretend, dress up.
And we've become scared of boredom in society now.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's not okay to be bored anymore. Yeah, yeah. And they've done scientific studies saying that it's actually good for your brain to be bored because that's when it does process things for you.
That you need to get out
there,
yeah.
That's where
the
learning comes.
Yep.
I have to put a side note out there, just a side story here. I was I don't get to see little kids shows very often, and that's usually when they have commercials for new games and things on there. Mm-hmm. And I saw one the other day called the original The Floor is Lava. And it's basically all it is a, you know, a little mats that you throw on the floor.
Yep.
And it drove me insane. there's a version of this that's $40. What are we doing? What are you doing? Like, The Floor is Lava is one of the cheapest games of all time.
That's what couch cushions are for.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then mom gets mad at you.
Yeah, exactly. Put those back.
You don't need this. You don't need this game. You don't. I'm sorry. More power to them. Make
what
your
kid,
money.
And they still do it. Kids still play The Floor is Lava.
Oh, yeah.
It's a universal thing. Yeah.
If you have any scrap paper at home.
Mm. Yeah. You can do that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Use a little piece of paper. Yeah. There you go.
That there's so many ways to play that game. There's no reason to have to. I don't know.
No.
For those who don't know, FOMO is fear of missing out, and there was a lot less of that back then. Your access to what was happening or available was limited to what you've seen or on a handful of TV channels, mm-hmm. what people around you talked about, and what you'd see on store shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's basically it. Yep.
Yeah.
But wasn't as much of that. That makes I get that. Yeah.
Right. Although I'm very curious about what are they afraid to miss out on, though. That's the overarching question of FOMO for me. What is it? Is it just that you the experience? But how can you enjoy the experience if all you're wanting just I got to do it, just got to do it, and then.
I can't think of many things in life where I've seen somebody do it and be like, "Oh, I wish I was doing that," or "I wish I could."
Yeah,
do it.
Right.
Just go and do it. Like I don't know. I don't. There's certain things, of course, that you can't. But far as like, I'm thinking of seeing somebody, cliff diving or something like that.
Oh.
Well, that's something that I could do. Yeah. Just have to work around the logistics of doing it, but
right.
I could do it. I don't fear missing out on that.
Right.
I think I take this way too like a term like that way too serious because things I think of are much more heavy than just something fun or random or
right.
to do. It was common to wear the same clothes as someone else, at least in the suburbs and out in the country. Most people relied on whatever store was nearby or mall, and they had like two or three shops usually.
Yep.
And you were gonna run into people in class that had a similar shirt that you had on, or the same shirt that you had on and stuff.
Man, yeah, that's the heyday of JCPenney. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yes. That just doesn't happen as much anymore, I guess.
No,
there's so many
places you can get stuff now. Even right. Even like cool one of a kind things. You know, go to Etsy or something like that. You can find very specific things, or like a lot of like we've talked about before, going to thrift shops and making your own thing, getting different styles from different times or whatever and making your own style.
Our students range from about 16 to 25 and certainly have older students and everything, but that is the average range, and that's all they're doing. I mean, almost every one of those students that I've had over the last 10 years have been doing a lot of that. Going to thrift stores, buying clothes, putting patches on them, or if there's a hole in something, putting something over it. I don't know. It's way out of my range. I could never do that kind of stuff. I'd still be at home trying to sew something and be missing class after class after class because I couldn't do it.
What happened to the teacher?
The rise of that is really cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are whole YouTube channels just on that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
The rise of it is really cool. The reason for it, not so much. The younger
necessity.
They get, and they also get that our landfills are filled with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of articles of clothing that nobody wore once, or people, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And repurposing a lot of things in life, not just items, but clothes, I think is really important for our planet going forward.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They didn't need anybody to tell them that. They didn't need a law for it or anything. They just did it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that is that younger generation. They're doing a lot of that kind of stuff. You see them in politics. You see them getting involved in a lot more things than I think our generation did.
I
want to tip my hat to them for that and thank them for doing that because we need all the hands on deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just couldn't find the answer to something. This is my favorite one.
Oh, yeah. It is true.
I kind of we were talking about this the other day, and I kind of miss the when you this is more of a guy thing, I think, but I know that there is a female version of this. Seth, who won the World Series in 86, man? Who was that again? No, it was 87. Who won the World Series in 87? We're going back and forth. It was the Mets. It was this. It was, back and forth for hours and hours and hours and never having an answer, but the debate continues.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That was the fun part, right? It was the debate.
Yeah. Now, who won the World Series in 87?
Well, let me look it up on my
And now we know. Now we know. But I kind of miss that. I miss some of the fun of that. I miss I do one thing that I do miss, and I see a theme here with some of these things, especially going to the first one where decades ago we took photos of everything. And and Beth, what you were touching on there, how we had to wait forever for the photos too. It feels like we had to work more for the things we wanted, even if it didn't seem like traditional work, quote unquote work. It seemed like we had to really, we need to really fight for a lot more.
It was delayed gratification. We understood that in that generation. And now, because everything is at your fingertips, if it doesn't happen for you instantly, you get upset. We've lost
Because you're used
that
to
art.
The, yeah, you're used to getting at things very quickly. Yep.
And the thing that I push back on is older people getting you're making fun of or picking on or complaining about younger people being that way. We did it to them.
Yeah.
Yep.
They didn't create society.
No.
No.
They didn't make it minute rice and fast food delivery and all these different things. They just happen to be growing up in a generation where everything is there is no more 3-minute commercial breaks. There are no more of those things. You can't begrudge them that any more than you can begrudge our generations for what we grew up with and everything.
Right.
They just happen to be growing up at a time where it's like that.
You're a product of your environment. And if that's what you know, that's what you know. That's what you've learned.
Does anybody ever do this? And I got to feel silly admitting this out loud. Even though I know I have a supercomputer on my hip and I can look up anything I want, I test myself sometimes. And I refuse. I will fight myself. Only myself.
Yeah.
This is all going on in my head. Where I'm like, no, I'm not going to look it up. I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to look it up. No, I'm not going to look it up. I really want to know. I really want to. I can't express how much I love knowledge and how much I love learning new things. And for to hold back on it, it takes so much willpower out of me. But I'll do it. I'll do it just to try to test my brain.
You'll get that in groups sometimes. I've noticed that you're trying to remember something as a group of people. You're discussing something. And then you're like, well, and then this happened and that thing. Wait, did that happen on this day or did that, we could look it up. And then you don't.
Yes.
I actually enjoy that. I think that's actually funny. It's like, we've all got phones. We could look it up. We're not.
That's the other side of it, too.
Yeah.
We're just kind of like bored with it almost.
Does it matter? Yeah. Not really. Let's go move on. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if we did this just so that we could, refute our math teacher when when the math teacher said, you're not always going to have a calculator with you.
Yeah,
I am.
That was good. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more fun in store for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Ding dong, ding. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth, Beth, and James here with you. Take you to the top of the hour.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow. But have a cup of cheer.
Oh, we're going to need an extra cup of cheer. Welcome back to the show.
We know of Colby Snow.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to get into a That Ain't Right story, sort of. It's science involved, and it's just kind of for fun, but it is interesting, I think. Do you ever need to use the bathroom, but your body knows you're still 20 minutes out, and the urge just won't go away, but then as soon as you pull into the driveway, you really, really need to go? And it just seems to be weird, you know. You've got everybody's been in this situation.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, someone asked doctors why it happens and why you can't, what you can do about it. And here comes the science.
Okay.
Basically, your brain and bladder are constantly communicating to prevent you from, you know, doing anything in your pants. And luckily, they're good at it. If your brain knows there isn't a bathroom nearby, it tells the muscles around your bladder to chill, relax. It's going to be a minute. But as soon as you know you're near a bathroom, your bladder does too. And those muscles start contracting. So it gets harder to hold it, and the urge to go skyrockets.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Science! So there is there anything you can do about it? Well, yes and no. The term for it is lackey incontinent. Incontinence, because it tends to happen while we're fumbling for our keys at the front door. It's a natural response, and you can't really trick yourself into thinking you have more time. But the more it happens, the more likely it is to happen again. So if you can break that pattern, it might happen less.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
You're essentially teaching your brain it's time to go as soon as you see the front door. So if it's a common problem, you may want to start using the bathroom before you get in the car, even if you don't need to go. This goes back to our parents or our grandparents telling us, did you go?
Yeah.
I don't care. Even if you don't need to go, go.
Yep.
You should have thought
yep.
of that before we left.
Yep.
Fascinating, though.
Yep.
It's really interesting. I don't think anybody had our bladder and brain, being
constant communication
in a text chain together. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
Hormones, the first form of texting.
Fascinating, interesting story right there. It's interesting. I want to get to some local good stories of the day. And before I do, I want to touch on Midday Magazine for the day. We got a really good one for you lined up. Join us from 3 to 4 today. In part 1, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer joining us. A lot to talk about with Shane. Want to talk local, want to get into some Christmas talk with him, and certainly talk about his run here as mayor.
Yeah, that's right.
Get into that with him. We'll have our great friends, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, who are already here setting up.
Yep.
Yes, they are.
Send a shout out to them. Big thank you to them. Be sure to like and subscribe their work on YouTube and Facebook. And in part 2, we're going to talk to our friends at the Family Center. Amy Scheid going to be with us, and she's bringing some friends. We're going to focus on volunteering and giving back and ways you can help out our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center.
Wow.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking at our sports schedule, nothing going on today, but tomorrow, I'll remind you that on our sister station, WIRI, we got Wisconsin Girls Basketball hosting Stratford.
Yep.
That's going to be a good one. Randy and Seth going to run that one. You know it's going to sound good between those two. And on Friday, we're going to preview our 30 Hours of Christmas. Melissa and Seth and I are going to get into that. We'll kick off our show letting you know the lineup that you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about this mischievous merchant Merlin Elf, too.
He's almost done with his shenanigans.
Somebody's got to find him.
Yeah.
We got one more day to do this, more day to grab those names. On Friday, we have one more hint for you. We'll get that out there. And a big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Foods, helping us with the Elf on the Shelves.
Glad you didn't use that.
That's a good one. It's good. It's been fun. We're looking forward to that. And I wanted to get local here for a second, too, with the coming up tonight, Blue Christmas, Beth.
Yes, at the Moravian Church, the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Humanism is hosting a Blue Christmas service with the recognition that sometimes, even though you hear things like it needs to be a holly jolly Christmas and it's the most wonderful time of the year, for some it's not. And that we still deal with the issues that we deal with every day, even during the holidays. And so you are invited at 6 p.m. to come over. You can bring a picture of maybe somebody that you lost if you're struggling with grief, or a symbol of something else with which you're struggling. You'll get that back at the end of the service, but it's an opportunity to just recognize the challenges that we face and to light a candle to offer that up. There'll be people there to pray with you and some new lyrics to traditional Christmas carol tunes that kind of help to recognize that challenge.
Want to remind people as well, there are stars available at the Moravian Church.
Yeah, we're still selling our Moravian stars, or otherwise known as the Star of Bethlehem or the Advent Star. So we've got two different sizes. One you can hang outside if you're interested in seeing what they look like. You can drive down First Avenue right past the church, the parsonage. We've got one hanging in front of our house.
And one in the window, too.
And well, the one in the window, you can't get at our church. That was
Oh, that's in true. That's right. You got that one special, but yeah.
And then one that you can put on top of your tree. That's a little bit smaller.
Very cool. And appreciate that. You can find out more by going to wrmoravian.org. Good luck with the services tonight.
Thank
Hope it goes well. We may see you there.
Yeah, or if you can't make it there in person and still would like to have an opportunity to have a type of service like this, we will be Zooming it and putting it on our YouTube channel as well.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Thank you, Beth. And thank you to Grace for hosting this, for having this. I appreciate that. And Beth, is there a way people can find out more about Grace?
At this point, we have started a Facebook page, so you can try to find us on Facebook, the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, and I think I do have it as Grace. It's in there, so you can look for it. We don't have a lot posted on there yet, but as we start to get things going, we're still kind of establishing ourselves and figuring ourselves out. But we had a wonderful Thanksgiving service that was hosted down in Port Edwards, and we're going to be doing some fundraising in the spring to help pay off some of the food service debt here in Wisconsin Rapids for the students at the high school.
Appreciate the work you and the team are doing over there with that, Beth. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that, too, as we get closer, further along here and everything. Seth, it is a Wednesday. We know what that means.
Yes. Go play some bingo.
Bingo!
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 Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Bingo starts at 6:30. Be there or be square, as the kids say.
Be square, bingo, bingo square board.
Many little squares. Yes.
Big shout out to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Appreciate them over there, especially with the work that they do for our community, putting back into our community, and with our VFW. Mm-hmm. And I remind everybody that tomorrow night, the VFW 2534 monthly meeting will be at VFW Post and Redden Road at 6 o'clock. And then also at the Rudolph American Legion will be meeting for their monthly meeting at 7. Keep those things in mind, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to all you superheroes out there, and I mean everybody that is able to donate blood, as people make travel plans to celebrate with family and friends this year, the American Red Cross asks donors to set aside some time to give blood. Patients waiting for care over the holidays. From a record number of people expected to travel this season, the Red Cross understands this. So as a thank you, thanks to Prime Video and their new film, Candy Cane Lane, featuring Eddie Murphy and many other greats. Those who come to give blood between now and December 31st will automatically be entered for a chance to win a $1,000 Amazon gift card.
Wow.
Wow.
And a couple of other cool prizes and everything. You can go to redcrossblood.org to find out more information. And you can donate today right here in the Wisconsin Rapids area. Our friends over at McMillan Library from going on in just a couple of minutes, it'll kick off from 10 to 3 over at 490 East Grand Avenue. You can donate today.
All right.
Wow.
And you can already get yourself in the running for it.
Yeah, cool.
If you aren't able to today, on January 4th, they will also have another opportunity for you to donate blood. That will be from 10 to 3 again at McMillan Library. And a shout out to our friends at McMillan Library and all the great work they do.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just get a real good story in. A morning radio show in Montana brought in over $77,000 for a fundraiser to support literacy.
Cool.
It's called Books for Kids, and it's the third year they've done it. More than 4,300 kids at 14 different schools will get one free book a month for the entire school year.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
A shout out to those guys, the Big J Show out there in Montana. Great name, by the way. Great name. Way to keep radio alive and also doing some good with it. This is the power of radio, people.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO of a brain cancer charity in Australia is gearing up for a big trip. He's raising money for research by hiking 70 miles across the South Pole in Antarctica.
Whoa!
Wow.
The altitude there is 9,300 feet, and it can get down to 20 below zero. He's planning to start his hike on December 15th, so he's already going, and finish up on January 4th. So he'll be at the South Pole on Christmas.
Oh, look at that, right in the middle.
On
that's
the
awesome.
The South Pole.
The South Pole. He's not getting, no.
Not the North Pole.
No. No,
he's
no
not
elves.
Be with Santa.
No Santa. He might see some penguins, though.
And that's why I think if I were to do this, people would never believe I was doing it for the right reasons. He just wants to see penguins. That's all. Yeah. But no, I really care about this.
No, you love the penguins.
Amazing show, you two. Thank you so much. It's been too long since we had you guys together and everything. Beth, thank you so much for the time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Again, find out more at wrmoravian.org and be sure to type that into your YouTube search and keep the data on things that they're doing and their services. Over there that you can catch. And Seth, I'll see you in a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to be back here on Friday.
I will be back.
We'll get you
guys get rid of me.
Ready for Christmas then. Be good to each other. Have yourselves a great day, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.